it's important to me to prevail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that we lost on infringement on automotive products.
Yes.
This is something we can deal later on with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to prevail on the rest of the stuff and then deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is important, because many, many professionals, when I say professional, I'm talking about attorneys, you know, the law profession, many of them are looking at this case not as a law-breaking case, but as a law-making case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty important for us to prevail.
Yeah, I think it's also important for many other people, too, who are following this case.
Of course.
Now, are you aware of other individuals that are facing similar types of situations with bigger companies and corporations?
Well, let's put it this way. One thing that was very, very good for us was the CBS versus the Network Network. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, that the Network Network owns TNN.com. And CBS owned the channel TNN on TV.
Okay.
I think it's Tennessee something.
Well, it was the Nashville Network. Now it's the National Network.
Pardon me?
TNN. It was the Nashville Network, and now it's the National Network.
Okay.
I think it's owned by Viacom.
Well, it used to own by CBS, and CBS well, CBS own CBS sued.
Yeah, CBS is now owned by Viacom.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So they sued the Network, and in this case, it went through just summary judgment, and the judge, which is in the same Ninth Circuit, the same Central District of L.A., the judge there ruled that determine trademark infringement is initial interest confusion. And the judge there ruled and said the fact that people expect to find somebody on the Internet does not constitute initial interest confusion. So that was very good. The Network won that case.
Mm-hmm.
Other things is the entrepreneur. You know, Entrepreneur Media is suing everybody that's using the word from the dictionary, entrepreneur.
Oh, really?
You know, they're suing everybody that have the word entrepreneur in their website.
It might not be a smart thing to sue entrepreneurs, though. You know, real entrepreneurs who might put that in their website.
Well, they've sued one of them that owns entrepreneurs.com, and from what I understood and what was reported, that after about 2 weeks when they realized who they are suing, they dropped the lawsuit. But against the little guys, they kept on going.
Yeah. Oh, I mean that's how bullies work, right?
Exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Uzi Nissan, founder and president of the Nissan Computer Corporation, owner of Nissan.com, and victim of a lawsuit by the motor company Nissan Foreign Car Mobile Repair Service, I think, was one of them, and there are, I guess, the entire Nissan auto industry is after you now.
Pardon me? No, Nissan Foreign Car was my first business.
Oh, that was you. Okay, I'm sorry.
It was my first business in 1980 when there were Datsun.
They weren't even Nissan then. Okay,
no,
so if somebody sees that and gets confused and thinks that you were trying to confuse people by thinking you were Nissan Car, Nissan didn't even exist then.
Did not exist in North America. They existed in Europe and in Asia.
Okay.
But in North America, they were known only as Datsun.
I see.
Until the mid-80s.
Wow. Well, it's quite a case, and something we're certainly going to be following. In fact, you're going to be appearing at the conference, H2K2, giving a presentation on that. And
looking forward to that.
What can people do as far as how they can show their support, or what can they do to help?
Well, mainly go to the site, go to ncchelp.org, click on the How Can You Help, and just send an email to the parties and send an email to the media and request, you know, insist on the media to cover that. And tell Nissan Motors what they think of that. That's the best support we can get at this point.
Okay. And has this been a strain on your family in any way?
Oh, you know that.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous. On my family, on my business, on every aspect of my life.
It must have cost a fortune to pursue this.
Well, let me tell you... I can tell you that the cost of the defense of this case already topped $2.2 million.
Wow. That's unbelievable. You know, it's we're involved in the lawsuit with Ford because of our website, which I won't get into now because it's just a whole other story.
I'm familiar with it.
Well, basically, you know, we won. We won the case. We should be happy, but they're appealing, so that means we still have to spend money to pursue the case, even though we already won. And
that's how these big companies doing.
That's how they work, because no matter what, as long as you fight, you lose, and that's mm-hmm. how they want people to back out of the fight because they don't see any victory here. I think though, if you do win, you'll be winning a lot more than a financial settlement of any sort. You'll be winning something about freedom of speech, which is what this is really all about.
And that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you have my admiration for standing up to them, and I sure hope that you stick with it. And that others follow your lead.
And thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Okay. And if you still want to make that pledge, feel free to call 212-209-2950. But you certainly have done enough to support freedom
okay,
of speech.
Okay. Well, if I did not do that, I'll email tomorrow and ask for the address to send it.
Okay.
Is that okay, too?
That's fine. Well, actually, if you wanted to count for this show, you have to call before we go off the air. That's just how it works here.
Okay. I don't
but that's by
me,
no means me, a pressure tactic.
Put me on hold for a second. I'll go get a pen. Just a second.
Okay. And while he goes to get a pen, let me tell people that our phone number is 212-209-2950. That's our pledge line. I certainly don't like having to ask for money at times like this, but when you think about it, when you think of the importance of having a voice, it's necessary. If you don't do this now, you know, we might not be that voice in the future. That's the important thing. 212-209-2950. Uzi, are you back?
Yeah, 209 what?
2950 and area code 212.
All right, I got it.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, and best of luck to you. We'll see you at H2K2, and we'll continue to update people on your case.
All right, thanks.
All right, good night. And that was Uzi Nielsen, Nissan, rather, who spoke to us from North Carolina about the plight that he's facing simply by having the last name that's the same as the last name for our motor company. Unbelievable what people are going through around here. And I think that's a real show of courage where people will actually stand up for that. Really is something to admire. So many people wouldn't do that. So many people would, and I don't blame people for backing down, for you know, falling into defeat because of this. It's one hell of a fight to fight these corporations. Sorry, Ken Gail joins us now.
The Gimbel General Store in Maine mm-hmm. got sued by the Gimbel's Department Store a few months before they went out of business.
Before the department store went out of business.
So they must have known at the time that they were going out of business.
Yeah, but it still doesn't stop them from suing.
They sued this guy. He had the Gimbel General Store, his name was Gimbel, mm-hmm. for decades and decades. And then when they decided to go after him, of course, he couldn't afford it, and he went out.
See, folks, we have a voice here. We have a way of getting these stories out. But we won't have that way if the radio station does not exist. We've raised $3,045, which is great, and that's a lot of money, and that's going to help. It's going to, I mean, $3,000 to a commercial radio station, that's like a lunch or something. It doesn't mean anything. Your words, your phone calls, your letters, they don't mean anything to these people. They don't care. As long as they get those advertising dollars, that's all that ever matters to them. That's why you won't be able to change things over there. You can change things here. You can have input. You can have a say, and you can get your story told. But the price to pay is supporting the radio station, keeping us going, investing in us, becoming our sponsors. 212-209-2950. The story you just heard now is a very true story, a very common one. And many stories like that, I'm sure, will be coming our way in the future. But we need a place to broadcast from. We need to be able to bring those stories to you. We have one phone call on the line, 212-209-2950. We have several premium packages. You can pledge any amount, but if you want the Freedom Downtime package for $75, you can get a copy of our two-hour documentary and a 2600 T-shirt, which has a list of all the corporations that have sued us since our existence began in 1984, or tried to sue us, or threatened to sue us, or all that kind of nonsense, along with some graphical representations of that. And for $125, you get all that plus two tickets to H2K2, which is a $100 value right there. So there are many, many levels you can pledge at. The important thing is to make that phone call now, 212-209-2950. Add your voice to the chorus of people calling out for justice. calling out for individual freedom of speech, that kind of thing. 212-209-2950. I find it incredible that this guy that we just interviewed actually, his next phone call is to us to pledge to support this this radio station. I mean, that shows you that it matters. It really does make a difference. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be contacting him who have heard this on the radio station, offering their support. And that is how you build movement. That's how you actually make change. And, you know, change is a dangerous thing for those who have the power. And that's why they want to keep you from making change at any cost. Well, we're here to tell you that it is possible to change things. We've been here for a while. We've had this radio program. We've had the magazine. We've made the film. We are making change in our way. We'll have a conference in July where many ideas will be exchanged. It all comes about from individual people volunteering their time, effort, skills, just being there, just saying that it matters. That makes all the difference in the world. You know, on the way back from Dayton, we were driving in the 2600 van. I think, Jeff, you saw this. Somebody with a bunch of ham equipment passed us and was taking pictures of the van as he was driving. He was driving with a camera and taking pictures of the van on the interstate in Pennsylvania. It's unbelievable. You can travel all over this country and have sights like that. And then another car behind him with a big Ralph Nader sticker on it. The passenger in that car was doing the same thing.
Yeah, it was funny because he'd be behind you, and that's when I noticed that he was taking your picture. And then that wasn't enough. He had to come around on the side and get all angles.
All angles, right? And you and Bernie S. were behind us, and we had sort of a caravan there through various states. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's just reaching out and seeing people and taking part in all this. That's why, you know, it'll never get dull. It'll never get boring as long as we all continue to speak up and take part.
That's what we call the FBI.
What's the FBI?
Taking your picture.
Oh, you think that was the FBI with the Ralph Nader sticker?
No.
I don't know. Maybe. 212-209-2950. We have 6 phone calls on the line. That's great. That means people are scrambling there in the tally room. And no offense to the people there. We know that they're working as hard as they can. But feel free to make those phone calls pile in so that they really go nuts. 212-209-2950. Mike, how many people were in the tally room? Because you took a visit down there.
Yeah, there's a few people there, but they looked really bored, so we should give them something to do.
We can't have that, can we? We have to have people that have that wild, crazed look in their eyes when the phone just never stops ringing. 212-209-295. Look, that line's all the way down there, which means we must have had enough calls for it to get down that far. Okay, well, let's keep those calls coming in. This is a good rally that we're having now, and this might bring us up to where we're supposed to be. 212-209-2950. Remember, for $75, you get Freedom Downtime and the T-shirt. For $125, Freedom Downtime T-shirt and 2 tickets to H2K2. Most importantly, for any price that you pledge, you support the radio station and keep us going. Keep this radio station on the air. Most amazing place in the world, I think, because here we are, 50,000 watts, middle of New York City, in the commercial band, and we've existed since 1960 like this with people's support. It just shows you that everything that is told to you about the realities of the broadcast industry, it's all nonsense. People can do things if they set their minds to it. You don't have to worry about arbitrage. You don't have to worry about commercial advertisers offending them or being too controversial, anything like that. It's basically people radio. That's what it should be all about. The airwaves do belong to the people, after all. BAI, I think, is the only instance where that actually is followed through.
According to radio lore, because we're in the middle of the dial, somebody discovers WBAI every 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. They're on their way from Z100 to Hot 97 or whatever.
Or whatever, you know, going from
and they don't
to
turn
the
dial hard enough, and it just sort of stops on us, and sometimes they just get riveted, and they never tune away.
It's exactly it. Every couple of minutes, someone discovers us.
Of course, the other part of that happens, too, where people are trying to find us, and they wind up on the other station by accident, and they start screaming uncontrollably and running out of the room. The radio dial can be a dangerous thing, and we're here to prove that. 212-209-2950.
That would not be the case if we were on one of the ends of the dial.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, if
and you know, that's why it's worth so much money.
The non-commercial ghetto that they throw all non-commercial stations in, below 92, you notice how all those stations are clustered right next to each other? You have, what do you have? Basically 90.3 right next to 90.1, right next to 89.9. In the commercial band, however, you have 92.3, and the next station can't be until 93.1, I think. It has to be this huge space between them to protect them. Now, how come the non-commercial stations don't get this protection, but the big commercial ones do? And if you start a one-watt micro-broadcasting station, you know, a couple of frequencies away from a commercial one, they're going to scream bloody murder and say that you're interfering with their signal. But the same just somehow doesn't hold true if you're a college radio station or someone independent, you know? Apparently, the protection is different for commercial broadcasters and for non-commercial. And that's just a crying shame because radio is something, there's enough space for a lot of different voices. And unfortunately, you hear a lot of the same voices. You hear Clear Channel, which owns well over 1,000 radio stations in this country now. Well over 1,000. Think of that power. Think of what they can do with that. And what they've chosen to do is simply make a lot of money and, you know, squash out the competition and opposition. They own billboards. They own concert-promoting companies. And basically, they promote who they want to promote. They play music of who they want to play. Artists are made and broken by Clear Channel because they have that kind of power. And that's what will happen. That's what will happen when you have so much in the hands of so few. 212-209-2950. Become that group of people that control our destiny. 212-209-2950. The tally still shows 3,045, but I know we've gotten a bunch of calls. But we'll see another flurry, and then we'll play some more of Freedom Downtime, which I know people want to hear.
We have some thank yous to hand out. Thanks to Alan from New Jersey, Clifton, New Jersey. Matthew from Albany, New York. Keith from Indiana, Muncie, Indiana. We're getting out pretty far.
Wow, tonight. Muncie, Indiana.
Here's one even further. Michael from Montreal, Canada.
Actually, I think Montreal's closer than Muncie, Indiana. I'm not sure about that, though. They could be.
Yes, am I
right?
It is. Yeah. It is?
Okay, it's closer.
Oh, well. Yeah. And our very own Neon Samurai.
Neon Samurai, all right. Thanks so much for calling in from out there on Long Island. Wow. It's really something. We're on the air until, well, I guess, Ken, it's up to you, because Nuff Said comes on at 10, and we're on until 10, but you're on until 12, so we can hang around as long as you want us to.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Stick around.
Tell us something about your show.
Tell us something about our show. We've been, it's Nuff Said. We're on usually from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Tuesdays. So we're coming into WBAI's office while these guys are coming out of the studio. So I've gotten to know them as people pretty well, and that's one of the highlights of coming in here nowadays. Mm-hmm. Even during the coup, you still got to hang out and chat.
During the coup, people were muttering in corners and trying to figure out ways of showing their opposition without getting thrown out the barricaded doors.
Yep.
And for those of you who don't know, we had a situation here at the radio station for pretty much all of 2001 where unfriendly people took over and were kicking people off the air one by one, and the whole radio network of Pacifica was moving towards corporatization, and it was a really bad scene. But, it was also a good scene in some ways because I learned a lot about people who have the guts to really stand up when things are happening right in their face. It's one thing to say that you support freedom of speech. It's another thing to actually support it and put yourself on the line. And there are a number of people here who I think just go well beyond the boundaries of courageousness. I'm pleased and honored to be at the same place as them. And the flip side of that, of course, is that there were a bunch of people who who did the exact opposite and simply caved in. And, a number of them have remained here to their credit, I think, because it does take some guts to come back even when you've been proven wrong. And also, I think the people who are running the place now, to their credit, they have not. There has not been a purge or anything like that.
There are also protests in front of the station, of many listeners protesting the situation. And I got to meet and chat with a lot of BAI listeners.
If there was
that way.
Any good to come out of all that, that was the good, because it was great meeting listeners, actually seeing people.
Yeah.
Maybe you talked to on the phone, or maybe you read letters, or maybe you just knew they were out there. These people cared enough to come. I remember that first demonstration. It was in January. It was bitter cold outside on 120 Wall Street, and people just were gathered demonstrating, trying to get their radio station back. That's how much it matters.
Enough said that we do here. I interview writers and artists in the comic book field, and I met one listener. I should say there's two listeners who I was talking to after a show. One of whom is really into comics, and we were talking about comics. And another listener. was said that, you know, I really feel like I missed something by not having read comics, you know, when I had a chance to read some of these great old comics that you talk about. And she feels she's missing something there. I don't know what I was saying that caused somebody to wish they knew more about what we were talking about. But somehow that happened. And I suppose just talking about the creative process with creative people intrigues folks. And the fact that it's comics and you find out, oh, they're just as creative as every other creative person you hear on the radio, makes people realize that they should have been paying attention to comics all along. And now they have a chance.
That's right. We've got Bernie S. Joining us. Hang on, I just called him now live on the air. And if we can bring him up on the switchboard here. Bernie, are you there? Bernie?
Uh-oh. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you are. Okay, you have a Sprint phone, so it takes like 50 rings for it to answer, but but here he is, joining us from Philadelphia. And we've been on since 7 this evening, and it's good that you can join us now.
Well, thanks for including me.
You joined us at the HamFest this year, every year, actually.
Quite the grueling weekend.
Well, yeah, because we have to drive all the way out to Dayton and of course, get up early in the morning because if you're a merchant there, you have to get your vehicle in, I think, before 7 or something crazy like that. The time really goes fast, though. When you're standing out there and people just walking by, people of all different kinds, shapes, sizes, just walking by and looking at who you are and what you're offering when you go around and look at other people and what they're offering, it flies. It really does. It's the most amazing experience.
Did you describe to listeners, having just gotten on the show just now, describe to listeners what the Dayton Hamvention was all about?
Yes. Yeah, we've been talking about that off and on throughout the time slot. Now, you found something that really is an unbelievable find when you were rummaging around, seeing some of the merchants, I think, on the first day. You want to describe that scary piece of technology that somebody was selling?
Yeah, this is Friday morning. Every year I go to the Dayton Hamvention, I see some things that have. I should backtrack and say that this is like a gigantic flea market. There's about 30,000 radio hobbyists who show up to this thing. A good deal of whom work in radio in some way, whether it's for a radio station or whether they work with the two-way radio. Maybe they work for a government agency that uses two-way radio. The government agencies use a lot of two-way radio stuff, police, fire, federal, that sort of thing. Some of this equipment ends up here at Dayton and at other HamFest is surplused from government agencies and companies and so forth. And sometimes something falls through the cracks and ends up being surplus that shouldn't be surplus. And every year I usually find one or two things that just never should have made it to the general public. I think a couple years ago you were there and we found a polygraph machine that had belonged to the Secret Service and other things. That's not so sensitive, but, you know, it's not the kind of thing you expect to find.
I believe I have that polygraph machine now, don't I?
How many people have you hooked up to that thing by now?
We'll talk later. Yeah, your results are in, by the way.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
The guy who invented that machine way back is the same man who created Wonder Woman back in 1941.
That's true. I read that.
Oh, my God. Unreal. Okay, so, Bernie, tell us more.
Well, Friday morning, which is the first day that a lot of vendors set up. And by vendors, I mean just like people like you and me that just have stuff they want in a basement, they want to get rid of, whatever. Well, there was this one guy at one table I went to, and there was a nice Samsonite suitcase. You know, the kind with the wheels and a pop-up handle you can roll through the airport. And it was open in half. It was opened up like a clam on a half shell. And there was this equipment inside it. And I'm looking at it, and it took me a few moments to realize what I was looking at. But what was inside it was several black boxes labeled Watkins Johnson. And having fooled around with radio for quite a few years. I know that, and probably some of our listeners are aware, that Watkins Johnson's primary business is manufacturing electronic surveillance equipment, primarily surveillance receivers, very high-end radios designed for government agencies to monitor the airwaves. airwaves that not normal people don't monitor, like AM, FM broadcast bands. Not that kind of monitoring airwaves. We're talking about signals intelligence, communications intelligence, that sort of thing. There were four or five black boxes inside this thing, all labeled Watkins Johnson, late model, 9000 series stuff. And one of the things was a digital audio recorder in there. All this stuff was strapped together, and there was a little sticker on it saying, not for for sale only to U.S. citizens. And there's another sticker on it that said GSM 900. And I asked the guy, what is this thing? He said, it's a GSM monitoring system. I said, for 900? He said, yeah. I said, oh. So I realized, you know, in the U.S. we only use a GSM in the 1900 megahertz band. This was a surveillance platform for some government agency, possibly an intelligence agency, for monitoring European or some other country's 900 megahertz GSM telephones. There was even a very unusual-looking, expensive earphone in there connected to the digital audio tape recorder. And I started to ask this guy some more questions about it, and a gentleman, sort of a spooky-looking guy standing behind me, handed a wad of cash to the guy. It had a $1,200 price tag on it. And without a word, closed up the briefcase, closed up the suitcase, and wheeled it away. And I'm standing there with my jaw open like, I don't believe I just missed it.
Oh, wow.
Because I brought money with me for things like that. But I was just so stunned looking at this thing, and I'd only looked at it for 10 or 15 seconds before it was snapped up from under me. What a lost opportunity. This is the kind of stuff, I did some searching on the internet since then, and I found a couple of other surveillance platforms that are you know, made by companies like Applied Signals Intelligence and so forth for monitoring TDMA, digital amps. I think I found one GSM monitoring system. But all of those were big rack mount systems for locating in some building where they do a lot of other monitoring. This was a covert platform for this. This was something that somebody could just sort of walk, you know, take through an airport and put in a hotel room and set up and monitor. And this isn't the kind of thing that would have been developed by Watkins Johnson for civilians. They don't make equipment for civilians. They make stuff for government agencies. And the only government agency that's going to want to do this kind of stuff is either an intelligence agency or federal law enforcement, possibly FBI. But my guess it was for, you know, who knows, NSA or some other intelligence agency. And sometimes you see things like this at Dayton. It's amazing. But some stuff falls through the cracks.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So we missed that.
So I think about it. I've kicked myself about 2,000 times since Friday morning.
I kicked it a couple of times, too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I needed some balancing out on the other cheek. But you see things like this at Dayton sometimes. And according to a friend of mine who used to sell a lot of equipment to federal agents, law enforcement agencies, he says that the place really is crawling with feds in plain clothes, looking for things like this. Mm-hmm. And it would not surprise me if this guy who took this without saying a word and walked away nonchalantly was taking it out of circulation.
Mm-hmm. Most likely.
It occurred to me, you know, I played this over in my mind over and over and over again, thinking, well, if I'd done this, whatever. And one of the scenarios is, like, well, okay, I buy the thing. The guy standing behind me, he's looking at me. I wheel it back to the 2600 van. and they put two and two together and jumped to all kinds of crazy conclusions.
I doubt we would have made it onto the interstate back home for if that had happened.
Well, you might have had to replace a window. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that was an interesting experience. And every year you see something that just boggles the mind.
Well, I have a feeling
you're lucky enough to get it.
A lot more hackers are going to be going to Dayton after hearing that little story. So it's something. This goes to show that there are interesting things out there. You just have to keep your eyes open for them. Bernie, we need to get some phone calls here, so maybe you can help get people to call in, because we're stuck at $3,045 here, and we need to get a lot more.
Is that all? We need to get up there. What's the goal tonight?
Well, the goal is higher than that. I don't have the goal in front of me, but there is a goal, and it's not that. It's higher. So 212-209-2950. If you like some of what you've heard tonight, please give us a call for that reason alone, just to keep the stories like this coming and to keep stories like what we heard from Uzi Nisan and films like Freedom Downtime to keep the spirit where that kind of thing is produced, to keep that flowing.
I see a lot of emails that come in, Emmanuel, from Off the Hook listeners. I guess they have forwarded to me and other people that are involved with 2600. And it's amazing how many people listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say almost universally the comments are, this show is just fantastic. There is nothing else like this on the radio anywhere. And they don't miss a show. And if they do miss a show, they have the archives they can play back.
Yes.
And it's just an incredible resource. And I can't think of any other radio show that would get such universal praise as this one. And it's such a diverse amount of information for people who are interested in technology, people's rights pertaining to the use of technology, dangers of upcoming legislation regulating people's use of technology, and which we all use. There simply is another resource on the air that informs people about this.
212-209-2950. And a lot of what you say is in no small part due to the people out there who spend time encoding the show and streaming the show. For those people who are out there listening on the Internet, it's their efforts that make that possible. And every week they get together and selflessly devote time to this and make a really big difference to a lot of people. So thanks to all the people who are involved in that. Off the Hook is more than just a radio show. It's a lot of people getting together and donating their time and expertise and efforts and making it all happen. And it's been like that since the beginning, back in 1988, when we first had our first, very first program, which you can hear on the Internet. 212-209-2950. We have a couple different pledge levels. $75, you'll get a copy of our documentary, Freedom Downtime, and the 2600 lawsuit shirt, which I know you're familiar with, Bernie.
The 2600 what?
The corporate lawsuit shirt. Where,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Great, yeah. My Sprint PCS phone dropped out right when you were starting to say lawsuit.
Of course. It's trained to do that.
you don't really appreciate all the hassling the 2600 and crew have experienced simply trying to inform people about things. And until you see this shirt, and then it dawns on you.
Yeah.
This is a way of life. This is a mission.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a mission from God. Sometimes we probably feel like we're the proverbial David against Goliath, and mm-hmm. It's really amazing that the 2600 has not been trounced more often by the powers that be, because these are powers that are just monumental powers.
That's true.
Compared to just a few people, but it just shows that if you fight, you can win things. Just like this Ford case. In fact, while you were at Dayton, you actually were on the phone on a conference call. Did you have to explain how you had to go through these hoops just to speak to have this conference call with lawyers and so forth?
Well,
over a cell phone.
Yeah, we had to take care of that. But actually, it's a sensitive thing. I mean, yeah, we were in talks with various other attorneys and things like that, which basically is all I can say on the matter at this point in time. And we're going to continue to pursue all of that. It's hell. It really is. Having to constantly fight for the right just to say something, just to be a part of the Internet community, as we can see, people are constantly being challenged and having to spend their life savings just to exist, and as long as we have this place, as long as this place exists, their stories can be told, and that's what I think is the most important reason to support this place. Not just for Off the Hook, but for all the radio shows on this station that bring the voice of people who ordinarily would have no voice at all. That's why we need to get those phones lit up. 212-209-2950. There are zero calls on the line right now. We're at $3,325, which is okay, but we can do a lot better. 212-209-2950.
We have some additional people to thank. There is Stephen from Place. I hope that doesn't say what I think it says. Anyway, California.
Bruce from Brooklyn, New York, and Gina from New York, New York.
Okay, thanks so much for those calls, and please keep those calls coming in, 212-209-2950. And Bernie, just to demonstrate to the folks in a rather as blatant a way as we possibly can, we're going to play part of your story now. As many of our listeners know, you went through real hell a few years ago when you were targeted by the authorities just for doing what you do and explaining how technology works. And I think this is an excerpt from the film, which is one of the premiums that we're offering tonight. It demonstrates really well how any one of us can suddenly be targeted and victimized by the authorities and forced to really ask a lot of hard questions. And I think this place being here made a real difference as far as that goes.
Oh, I mean, I think I probably would have lost my will to get through that entire year and a half ordeal had it not been for this program. And fortunately, I was occasionally able to get on this show from prison. And I went through this tour through five different maximum security prisons back in 95 and 96 during my ordeal. And I got to say, Emmanuel, that being on Off the Hook and talking to people about this was something that kept my sanity intact. Well, I don't think it's ever been completely intact, but in any case, it really kept me going, and I was amazed the number of people who took an interest in my case, which locked up for about a year and a half, and the government never alleged that I stole anything from anyone or attempted to commit any kind of fraud, just for possession of technology, which had been recently outlawed just prior to my arrest.
Okay, and well, we're going to...
So you can play this thing, and I'll probably... Well, I can just turn off my my radio for now.
Yeah, well, this might not be pleasant memories for you, but they certainly are things that we need to never forget. And it's in that spirit that I ask people to listen to this part of the film, which tells Bernie's story. And at the same time, please show your support for the radio station that makes such things possible. 212-209-2950. I hope when we return that quite a few phone calls will have come in.
The Bernie S. case, as far as I'm concerned, got blown out of proportion by a lot of things. It got blown out of proportion by the prosecution, who knew what exactly he had done, and their representation of it was almost to make him look like the guy who blew up the Murrah Federal Building. To do that was an incredible leap, but they managed to pass that off. They made Bernie S. look like an absolute terrorist.
The new statute that my attorney had never heard of, and neither had I, that in fact it wasn't even in the law books yet, makes it a federal felony to possess hardware or software for the modification of telecommunications instruments for the unauthorized access to telecommunications services. I wasn't accused or alleged to have done anything with software or ever cloned a cellular phone or anything of that nature. Just the mere possession of these things now constituted a federal felony according to this new statute. The judge ordered me held without bail based on the fact that books, in fact, I had two books in my home on how fireworks, explosives are made. That stuff is fascinating. I had about 2,000 books in my personal library.
What little media attention the case got made Bernie look like a dangerous maniac. But he had never stolen anything, not even a phone call. Everything they used to make him look like a terrorist was something he had legitimately obtained. But when the Secret Service wants you in prison, nobody asks them why. Not even a judge.
Your Honor, when we initially searched Mr. Cummings' house, federal agents discovered a substance they believed to be C4 plastic explosives. And while upon later analysis it turned up not to be C4, the fact that it might have been concerned us greatly. And based on that, we would recommend for a stronger sentence. And the judge didn't even blink at that sort of a thing.
Then the prosecutor made a startling revelation to Bernie's lawyer.
She had told him she was under a lot of pressure to prosecute this case by the Secret Service. And that, in fact, the real reason, and that's a quote, the real reason, end quote, Ed is in jail, was not because of crystals or software or anything like that. It was because of other things that they found in my house. Namely, surveillance photographs of undercover Secret Service agents. So I made these photos available at the 2600 meeting, and it apparently was a coincidence because I didn't call them, but the local Fox television affiliate, Fox 29 in Philadelphia, their news division, showed up at the meeting.
Most are between their mid-teens to late 20s. They gather every Friday night at 30th Street Station for all to see. It's called the 2600 meeting, named after a telephone frequency. And meetings like these are advertised in a high-tech magazine you can buy at a bookstore. Some hackers call themselves fighters for the freedom of information. The U.S. Secret Service monitors some hackers, but hackers say it should be the other way around.
And this photograph here, the Secret Service agent is picking his nose.
Secret Service didn't find it humorous. Not only did they have some of their agents' covers blown, but they didn't, picking their noses on major market television news stations. So we all thought that was amusing, and until I was in federal prison and I found out that that was the real reason I was locked up was because of that.
For a year and a half, Bernie was bounced around maximum security prisons throughout Pennsylvania.
I think they got tired of me filing these appeals, because I found myself in handcuffs and shackles and taken up to Lehigh County Prison, which had a reputation amongst prisoners that I'd talked to over the past year as probably one of the roughest prisons in Pennsylvania.
Within a day, Bernie was attacked.
He punched me in the mouth, and I went down. He's a big guy, probably weighed like 220 pounds. And I think it turns out later he was on drugs, coming down off of crack or something. But anyway, I went down, and he started to kick me in the head, and I put my arm up to block his kick, and it broke my arm also.
After bleeding for hours, Bernie was finally taken to the hospital, but the authorities refused to let him contact his relatives.
The hospital wanted me to sign this waiver, sign this, you know, wherever you go into surgery, you have to sign this thing saying that, you know, you understand all the risks involved. I refused to sign the papers. I said, not until I get a hold of my uncle, at least let somebody in my family know what's going on. And the prison officials went bananas that I wouldn't sign this waiver, because it was a liability for them that I wasn't getting medical treatment. I was severely injured, and they needed to operate on me right away. We got all the way up to the warden of this place, and my uncle was a known quantity, a known person in the community. He'd been president of the city council for years. I mean, they all knew who he was. He wasn't someone who was going to run down there and try to spring me out of the hospital. Meanwhile, I was handcuffed and shackled to the hospital bed, which was ridiculous. I didn't feel like going anywhere. I was in bad shape. So with a guard sitting there with a gun, making sure that I didn't like break the handcuffs and run away, I was denied antibiotics for 2 days. I was denied any painkillers at all, not even aspirin, which I couldn't take because my teeth were completely wired shut. And I was in probably the most excruciating pain that I've ever had, but more than I could ever imagine, having multiple fractures and it was like being in altered states of consciousness, this much pain. And they weren't even bringing me food I could eat. They were bringing me solid food, which I couldn't eat because my jaw was wired shut. I was getting to the point where I was starting to feel like I don't care anymore. I was really feeling like I give up. I just lose my will to go ahead. I was able to get a phone call out the next day, tell people where I was, what was going on. And that really, I think, is when a major telephone campaign, internet crusade started gaining momentum. We had like state representatives getting called. I mean, like major politicians getting calls and calling the prison saying, what's with this? What's this generating all the publicity for? Finally, I think the prison and the judge realized they didn't need this publicity. They wanted to get this thing over with and wash their hands of it. So the judge signed an order to have me released on a medical furlough, which the guards had never even heard of before. They said, what the hell is that? We people who die in here, we don't even let them out. So this was an unusual thing. I'm convinced that all the publicity generated by, 2600 Magazine, their website, radio interviews. I even forgot to mention that. I'd been repeatedly interviewed on WBAI's Off the Hook show with Emmanuel Goldstein, and people were following this case from the beginning, and it was generating a lot of attention that way as well. I got letters. I got hundreds of letters.
We had gotten them out, but it sure didn't feel like a victory, and the scars were permanent.
They had to put the surgeons mounted a titanium bar in my arm. I don't know if you can see it or not. There's a nice scar from here to here where they put this titanium bar in, and seven stainless steel screws. This is how much my arm opens now. That's it. That's my full range of motion on my left arm, unlike my good arm, which straightens out. Anyway, that's what I got. My jaw doesn't open as much as it used to. If I'm trying to bite an apple, I can't get it in like I used to, but I live with it.
And that excerpt from Freedom Downtime telling the Bernie S. story. And what a story it was. Bernie joins us now live from Philadelphia. And, you know, Bernie, when we show this film to people, there's always somebody who reacts quite emotionally to that. Just a mix of just horror, sadness, anger, that such a thing could happen to somebody.
Well, I don't think my case is unique, Emmanuel, in that, you know, all kinds of people get locked up for reasons that shouldn't put them in jail, at the very least. And a lot of people are treated very poorly in prison physically. And, you know, medical treatment is a joke in prison. So this is, you know, I don't consider my case to be special in that respect. The only thing really was special about my case is, besides I was held for reasons that were pretty dubious, was that a lot of people knew about my case. And there are a lot of people that are just lost in the system. They may be there for just pretty ridiculous charges. And mind you, there's a lot of dangerous people in prison, too. But I saw a lot of people there were for things that, victimless crimes. And they'd been there for years. And nobody knew about their case. Nobody was speaking up for them. WBAI spoke up for me through Off the Hook. And that really made a big difference for me from just keeping my sanity. And ultimately, I think it had a lot to do with my being released. Even though it was months after my parole date, I was not getting out of there anytime soon. And I don't think I would have had it not been for this show. So I owe this show a lifetime of gratitude for that, because it was pure hell, and it saved me.
It just goes to show that it does make a difference, and that's something that, you know, we keep trying to hammer home, and occasionally needs to be, you know, told to us. And it's good to hear that from people, that it does make a difference. So that's why it's especially important to do everything you can, whether it's showing up at demonstrations, spreading the word, helping to get the signal out over the internet, or pledging, showing your support. That's what we all have to do. We all have to do our bit. 212-209-2950. We got several calls during that segment, which is great. Now that you've heard the segment, please give us a call, show your support, and get a copy of the film as a result of your support as well. We have two different pledge categories where you can get the film, $75 and $125, and you'll also get a pair of H2K2 tickets to the Hacker Conference taking place this July here in New York City for the pledge of $125. 212-209-2950. Of course, all pledges are welcome, and there are all different kinds of categories you can pledge for. Just speak to our tally people. They'll be quite happy to help you along there. We have one call on the line right now. Let's see if we can bring that up. Our time is coming sort of to a close, but we're going to be sticking around joining the Nuff Said people. And they're joining us right now. In fact, Ken Gale is here.
Hi there.
How you doing?
And Mercy Van Vyck.
I'm sorry, Mercy Van Vyck is here as well?
Yep.
Just getting your microphone up. We have a lot of people here today.
We don't have enough microphones.
No.
WBAI needs more equipment,
people
which is
are
why
sharing.
You should donate money to WBAI. We really need your help right now. We're coming back from the other world where we were in exile, and now it's a radio station of the people again.
That's right. That's right. 212-209-2950, two calls on the line. Let's see if we can make that five calls, and then Then we have another horror story to tell you. Isn't it great the payoff that you get for pledging your support? We tell you horror stories and you pledge money.
Is that an incentive for people to
what
pledge?
What is it, Halloween?
I guess. I don't know. Well, it just seems like, you know, people do want to hear how bad things can get. But 212-209-2950 is our phone number. We've been here since 7 o'clock. And so far we've raised $3,875. We should probably hit 4,000 before we do the official cut over to Ken and Mercy's show. That's at 10 o'clock, just about 11 minutes. Yes.
Thanks to the coup and the situation there, the situation at Pacific is much more open to prevent anybody from sneaking around and doing some of the nasty stuff that had been done over the last few years.
That's right.
And part of this openness is to give power back to the listeners through the local advisory boards. And they're restructuring the local advisory board so that the listeners who support the station become members of it. And it'll be members in the truest sense of the word. Well, you will have a say in the operations. And you will even have a say in who goes onto the national board, the Pacifica Foundation. And all you have to do is become a member of WBAI. If you're unemployed, $25 will do it.
That's right. 212-209-2950. It's true people radio, the closest thing you'll ever find to that, certainly in this city and most parts of the country as well. 2002 is going to be a very important year because it's the year we put it back together and make it better than it was before it almost fell apart. Mm-hmm. And wow, what an incredible year we lived through. It's all documented. It's all, you know, encoded and saved. In fact, Mike here deserves a lot of credit for helping to establish a system where we were able to record virtually every single hour of the radio station in 2001, which was invaluable in documenting when certain things were going really, really badly and certain people were being intimidating or keeping listeners from speaking out or just abusing their authority in various ways. It was a sad moment in our history, but I think it's something that we might have needed to go through to give us more strength. So what we need for strength right now is more phone calls. We have three on the line right now, 212-209-2950. And again, I think the deal was five, right?
Yeah, I went back there a little while ago to exchange the pledge cards.
Right?
Yeah. And they urged me to get more people to call because they were really, you know, just sitting around.
They're playing cards back there,
yeah.
You know? It's just, we can't have that, you know? People come here, they should be answering the phone, not dilly-dallying.
I mean, these people who are giving their time to answer your phone calls, and you should give them phone calls to answer.
That's right. It's an insult if people come in here to answer your phone call and you don't call them. I mean, come on. 212-209-2950. They are waiting by the telephones, just waiting for the phone to ring. You know how sad you are when you wait by the phone to ring and it doesn't ring? Well, that's how sad these people are right now.
209-2950. 212 area code 209-2950.
Country code 1 if you're out of the country. And many people are. We get pledges from Scotland and do we get anything from overseas that we thank people for today? I don't think so, not yet.
We're in Canada, which is,
well, okay,
you know.
Yeah, same country code, though.
Doesn't really count.
Well, yeah, it does count, but it's, you know, it's
Not for the phones.
Yeah.
For other reasons.
And hopefully they'll count a lot more in the future as far as being separate from the United States. But we'd like to hear from people all over the world because we know people all over the world listen. Four calls. One more call, and we can tell Ken's horror story, because he's got, oh boy, this is something.
In four color.
Yeah. 212-209-2950. We
or
have
256 color, since it's the internet.
That's right, yeah. Started out as a four color nightmare.
We have so many different things that you can get for pledging, but the real reason to pledge is just to support this place and keep us going. We have the documentary that we basically have been spending our time on for the last 3 or 4 years, which is finished on VHS format now and ready to be sent to you in exchange for your pledge. You heard a bit of it tonight, but there's so much more. And of course, you have the picture that you don't see over the radio. 212-209-2950. And there are many other levels, too. You can get tickets to the H2K2 conference and BAI hats and tote bags and whatever else you're talking about.
Coffee mugs. Canvas bags,
yeah.
And T-shirts.
We have
glorious T-shirts.
But that's not the reason to call. The reason to call is because you believe in this place and you believe in supporting us. 212-209-2950. Okay, I guess we're at the point now where we can We can tell what happened to enoughsaid.net, which if you go to now, this was the site for the radio program Enough Said. And apparently you guys peddle pornography now.
Play the our cart.
Not our idea.
I think it's interesting.
Should I do that now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to play that at 10. I can play it now.
No. Play the cart. Yes, the cart talking about our show because
said promo.
Neil Adams,
yes, because it's a nice promo. Ed Menchie, who really is the man who started Enough Said, put this together. It's his voice you'll hear on it. But there's something very interesting at the end of this cart, which moves right into this little horror story we've been talking about.
All right, let's listen.
Uh-oh.
This has fallen to the. To the curse of Cart Machine 2, which I think means it's not.
Oh, did you put it in the cart machine on the right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a cart machine that worked. So
okay. That machine doesn't seem to like to play carts.
It plays them. It just doesn't play any audio. Okay. Well, now
we have
to wait.
This is radio. Yeah, you have.
For those who don't know, carts are like they look like 8-track tapes, and you have to wait for them to come all the way around again before you can play them a second time. So that's what we're doing now, waiting for it to come around again.
Yes, it's short for cartridge. Uh-huh. So whenever you hear somebody promoting a show. That's usually on a cart.
Commercials used to be on carts. In fact, in some stations they still are. And in fact, songs used to be on carts as well. Now I think everything is on computers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where did commercial audio tape come from? Is that what CART stands for, or did it at one point, commercial audio tape?
I don't know, but I did see...
That's CAT, actually.
I saw a format of tape at the Dayton Hamvention. That was, what was that called again, Jeff? It was...
I don't remember.
It's some enhanced cassette.
Yeah.
Oh, Bernie's still here, right?
Yeah. Bernie will know.
It was a Fidelipak, which was... That's one of the really interesting things about Dayton is that you find all kinds of bygone technologies that you just don't see anymore, that people have forgotten about, that might have been a good idea, whatever. This was a looked a lot like a regular audio cassette, only it was bigger than an 8-track, physically, and it used a... Use the same size tape as a reel-to-reel deck.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was marketed to consumers in the mid-70s as an alternative to what I call cassettes, because cassettes are pretty hissy.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the fidelity of reel-to-reel without having to bother with take-up reels and threading tape and that kind of nonsense. And it really worked very well, but like a lot of technologies, just because it was superior, it didn't make it in the marketplace. It did have a second life in commercial sound production, and in particular radio stations. Weren't there was a whole set of cartridges there with stuff from radio stations on them, I think?
I didn't see that, but I just saw that one cassette, and I was amazed because I had never seen that format before. And I work in tape, I work in radio. I've never seen a cassette that big that looked just like that. And, there's always these bizarre, ridiculous formats, but that was one that somehow I missed.
One of the many things you'll see at Hamfest and the Dayton Hamvention in particular.
Okay, well, we killed that time pretty well. The cart has requeued and is ready to be played now. I just want to point out we've passed the 4,000 mark, which is great.
All right.
Thanks for those donations.
Thank you so much. We have four calls on the line, so that's
great.
Even more to be counted. And we have those calls that have not yet been made that I know people are about to make. Mm-hmm. They just are looking for that push. Well, here's the push. Call us, 212-209-2950. We're waiting for you. What do you doubt your importance? Do you think that one phone call isn't going to make any kind of a difference? Of course it will.
And Enough Said has a nice premium package for everybody. 2 weeks ago, we interviewed Ted Rall, who did a combination book and graphic novel called To Afghanistan and Back. Ted had been in Central Asia four times before. This time he went there after the war started as a journalist and did some very poignant cartoons and articles about what was going on over there, what was really going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a journalist from Western Europe or America, the Taliban hates you. They were bombing them. The Americans hate you. They were bombing them. And the North Atlantic Alliance hates you. I mean, of the 35 he entered Afghanistan with, 32 returned. And they returned basically under gunfire after one of them got killed by somebody who was probably
press.
Northern Alliance.
Yeah.
No respect for the press, though.
It's quite amazing. The first strip in the book is my favorite in there. It's a picture of Central Asia with Afghanistan missing. The caption, "Even if Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden, and the other 16 million people living there were nuked, it wouldn't matter. Most of the jihad camps aren't there anyway. Even if we obliterated all of their training centers in Pakistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan, it wouldn't matter. Their former students are now all over the world. Even if we tracked down every single Muslim militant on the planet and killed them, it wouldn't matter. Their friends and relatives would take their places. The last panel is a man in a bed and the other pillow is empty. And the caption is, even if it mattered, it wouldn't help.
Wow. And that's a premium for enough
that's,
said.
That's part of the premium. For $100, you get a copy of To Afghanistan and Back by Ted Rall, talking in great thing about what it was like trying to get there, you know, what the people are doing, how the Taliban folks become part of the Northern Alliance by taking their hat off and putting on a different one. So not only do they have the same policies as the Taliban, they're the same people.
Wow.
You also get a copy of the preview of Rex Mundi, which is an excellent hard-boiled comic, and an issue of Comic Book Artist number 11, which is the special issue dedicated to Alex Toth and Sheldon Mayer. Sheldon Mayer, there used to be an article on the NUFSA webpage. I consider him the most important person in the history of comics for many reasons. And this is a interviews with his kids who were models for things like Sugar and Spike. But it's a great magazine. And Mercy and I published comics. We did 8 issues of Evolution Comics. They did well enough that we have second printings. Part of this package, you get the first printings of all of the comics that Evolution published. So for $100, you get a copy of To Afghanistan and Back, the Rex Mundi preview comic,